you were fortunate to see one of your major bills, major accomplishments coming closer to fruition now in the form of how the Kansas City Police Department can be funded.
Yeah, we had a situation in May of last year where the Kansas City City Council defunded the Kansas City Police Department to the tune of almost $43 million. They had previously allocated those funds to the department and then attempted to strip them back in May of last year. And so at that time, I pledged to file a piece of legislation that upped the minimum funding threshold for what the City Council is required to dedicate to the police department's budget. Because the Kansas City Police Department is under state control, it has a minimum funding requirement that it has to fund the KCPD to under state law. And that amount is set currently at 20%. That has not been amended since the 1950s. So what I did in my legislation is I increased the minimum funding threshold from 20% to 25%, which is more in line with the modern day funding needs of the department. Obviously, this is something that's well overdue. Inflation has been a heck of a lot more than 5% since the mid-1950s. And so this is something that is necessary to make sure that we prevent future radical attempts by the Kansas City City Council to defund the KCPD.
Is this dependent upon the joint resolution that puts it on the ballot?
Yeah, so we have a Senate joint resolution that, for technical reasons, we didn't get to this week, but we should be getting to it the first part of the week that we get back from legislative spring break. And based upon the votes on the underlying bill that we saw in the Senate, I mean, the bill passed overwhelmingly, I'm very confident that we're going to pass the JR. But what the joint resolution would do is it would put a question on the ballot to authorize an exception to the Hancock Amendment to allow the legislature to establish minimum funding requirements for the KCPD. One of the lesser known provisions of the Hancock Amendment, most people, when they think of Hancock, they think about if taxes go up by a certain amount, there has to be a vote of the people before that tax can be implemented. One of the other provisions, though, is a provision that says that the legislature cannot put a new financial obligation on municipal or county government without providing a funding stream for it. And so what the joint resolution does is it creates an exception to that prohibition on unfunded mandates to allow us to set minimum funding requirements for police departments.
This, I believe, is a standalone bill on its own, but you managed to put it on another as a form of the amendment, and it relates to real estate assessments.
Yeah, that's right. So I had a bill that I've now filed for the last three sessions that would put in place caps on the amount that someone's real estate assessment can increase on their house. And so we've seen around the state, and certainly in the areas that I represent, some very dramatic increases in people's real property assessments. And that means huge spikes in the taxes that they owe to local government. Of course, for most people, you know, their house is their biggest asset. And for folks who are on fixed incomes in particular, when the government dramatically raises your taxes on your house, it risks people being literally taxed out of their home. And so, you know, I've been working closely with county assessors around the state, working closely with different stakeholders that have an interest in the legislation. And we were able to come up, I think, with a good compromise that would cap the amount that a real estate assessment could increase of the greater of 10% or inflation as measured by the Consumer Price Index. And so that's what the legislation does. This will afford greater predictability to homeowners whenever they go through a reassessment phase that they're not going to see their taxes double or triple overnight, which is something, unfortunately, a lot of Missourians have had to endure over the last several years.
Another one that's now been heard in committee, which deals with the issue of sports wagering in our state.
Yep, Missouri is increasingly falling behind when it comes to sports wagering. We now have two of our border states, Illinois and Iowa, who have authorized sports wagering. It looks very likely that Kansas may well be on its way this legislative session. And so the concern there really simply is that if you have surrounding states that authorize somebody being able to bet on a sporting event like a Kansas City Chiefs game or a St. Louis Cardinals game, that if those folks want to place those bets, they're going to just go across the state line into Kansas, go across the state line in Illinois, drive north to Iowa and place those bets, which means it's depriving Missouri of tax revenue that would ordinarily go to our schools, because tax revenue derived from gaming constitutionally has to go to education in Missouri. And so this is an effort to make sure that we are keeping those educational dollars here for our students and for our schools. And in addition, we also know that people right now are placing illegal bets on sporting events. It happens. There is a gray market of illegal sports betting that goes on in Missouri and other states that haven't legalized it. What my legislation would do is really kind of push out that illegal market by bringing a new legal market into Missouri that would be regulated. And that's important because we need to make sure we're protecting consumers. If somebody is placing a bet on a sporting event, we need to make sure that they are placing it with, you know, a casino licensee or one of the professional sports teams in the state to make sure that they're placing a bet that is going to be legitimately honored by whatever organization is behind the application they're placing that bet on. And right now, we really don't have those assurances with the unregulated market.